out, bells will ring. Now's the time. I can't afford to be. This is small town music. This is big town music. He's ahead of his time, you know, but he can't use it. If only he could prove it. Well, tomorrow's just a song away. A song away. A song away.
Hey everybody, welcome to Rock Solid, the comedy podcast for all things music, both new and classic. I'm Pat Francis.
And I'm Pilar Alessandra.
And this is your monthly Patreon episode. This month, it is That Song Schooled Me.
Yes, This Song Schooled Me.
Well, I have that song.
Oh, I thought it was this.
It's either this or that.
Same
thing. And do you have a topic for next month? We won't say it yet.
I will have one by the end of this episode. I don't know. Maybe.
Okay. If you don't, it's fine.
Okay.
Because you just have to have it for me by the time I post it for people to participate.
Yes. But maybe something will come up as we do it.
Maybe something will come up.
This was actually inspired by a listener who said, I really learned something from this song.
All right, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, perfect. Maybe someone will say something in one of these intros that makes you think of a topic.
Exactly.
So is this the first podcast we've done since your podcast ended? Maybe.
I think so, yeah.
All right. So if you're looking for Pilar's podcast, it's still out there. 1,000 episodes.
It's there.
It lives. It's like a monster that we can't kill. It lives. You can hear it. And but no new episodes.
No new episodes. I'm doing something called On the Page Extra where, you know, I'll have sort of a video interview, like short and sweet, with and put it on YouTube. So okay. I'll be doing things like that randomly.
Okay.
The first one was with Seth Hoffman, who it's late and I just finished teaching. He is the showrunner for this season of Dead City, The Walking Dead.
That's the one with Negan.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. And he's the showrunner.
Yes. And I've known him since he was a little tyke in my class.
Now, I turned the air conditioner off. Is it too hot for you? Because, see, it kind of got hot already.
For me, no.
Okay. Well, I can hang. I can hang tough, too.
Okay.
All right. As long as you're not hot.
Yeah. No, I'm just a little spacey. So, okay. Everybody.
This was your idea to do it.
I know. I did it.
10 till 10.
I know. It's 10 to 10. And I just finished a class that started at 9 p.m. Because it was for L.A. people at 6 p.m. their time. And it was kind of an intense class for the Writers Guild Foundation.
Well, don't think that I didn't do anything. I just finished my 42nd Tom Cruise movie, Top Gun Maverick.
Oh, what was I thinking?
Yeah.
What was I thinking? Cruise Control.
Cruise Control continues.
It continues, but
I got two
it's
more.
Almost over.
It's almost over. I'm going to watch Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning and then Mission Impossible Final Reckoning, which will be like a 5.5-hour movie altogether. And then we will go see Digger. In October.
And that will be...
And then that'll be the end of Cruise Control.
The culmination. Yeah. So when you say 42nd, you mean it.
Yeah, this was the 42nd title, yeah.
So 42 Tom Cruise
42 Tom
movies.
Cruise movies. And I'm talking everything. I'm talking everything from Losing It and The Outsiders, and then ones where he was just in it a little bit, like Goldmember or Tropic Thunder. Yeah, every single big screen appearance. Movies that you may never have seen, like American Made or Lions for Lambs, every single one. And then, of course, all the big hits with, you know, a few, is it A Few Good Men? Yeah, A Few Good Men and Rain Man and Jerry Maguire and all those things.
What was that terrible jukebox musical that you...
No, I haven't posted about that one yet.
Oh, so we can't talk
about it. I mean, yeah, Rock of Ages. That'll be the next one I post about.
Yeah.
Well, he's fun in it. He's fun, but it's not good.
It has all the music.
Has all the music that we play on this podcast.
Yes.
Yeah. I just think it would be a better.
I thought
I saw something.
What did you?
I don't know.
What do you mean? I don't know.
I thought out of the corner of my eye, I saw something.
It could be one of those giant cockroaches.
But maybe I didn't. I have to look around now.
Okay.
It's Wait. Weird because I like thought I saw something.
What do we do if there is something?
I don't know. I'm getting out of my chair.
And how would it get in here?
I don't know. Okay, I'm up out of my chair.
All right. What are you seeing? Oh, shit. Oh, my God. North Carolina has really giant bugs. Like, giant. And we're really super clean, and they still get in.
Okay.
To... Just, I don't know how they
All right. I don't see anything.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Now look, here's the deal. That's great. Everyone got to hear my scared...
Is that because of the mouse?
Yes.
So you're still like a mouse PTSD?
Yeah. There's a mouse in our basement on a glue trap. And when I say a mouse, guys, it's the fucking tiniest mouse. It's fucking tiny. I'm serious. It's super tiny. But... I walked down into the basement not expecting to see a mouse on a glue trap because the Terminix guy put glue traps down there to catch bugs.
Cockroaches.
Yeah. So I wasn't expecting to see a mouse. Mm-hmm. So freaked me out. So anyway, yeah, that was some PTSD. And I'm leaving that in. So you got to hear me be scared.
That was definitely your mouse voice. That was your lady mouse voice.
What did I say? How did I say it? I mean, what the hell? Yeah, seriously, though. I thought I saw... Now, look, Steve-O and I watched a movie out here, and, you know, and I don't think anything can get in here. I think it's pretty tight out here. But I do, when I come in here, and I always have, I flick the light on to see if anything is moving. You know what I mean?
You got to go through your papers there.
I know. That's mostly garbage now, so...
Okay.
But there's no food out here, anything
yeah,
like that.
But mice like paper.
Mice like to eat paper. All right. Okay. So I don't even know what we were talking about before. Oh, we were talking about Tom Cruise. Oh, yeah, I was saying I think Rock of Ages would have been a better musical if it had original music in it.
Well, but the whole thing is...
I know.
Yeah, the whole point of it is jukebox music.
I know, it is. Yeah. Okay. And Tom Cruise is great as Stacy Jackson. He sings. I don't know how much auto-tuning or help in the studio he had, but yeah.
Everybody had a great voice, but it was like theater kids singing
rock and roll,
classic rock. Yeah, so it just did not have the edge that,
mm-hmm. So,
yep.
That's it. Yep. All right, moving on. Let's get into That Song Schooled Me. And this gentleman was on one of our Versus episodes. He won that on Patreon. That was the Patreon prize. You could participate in a Versus episode. And again, that's patreon.com/rocksolidpodcast. And this is Chris Combs.
Here we go.
With his entry.
Hello, Pat, Pilar, and Rock Solid listeners. This is Chris Combs from Virginia. First, Pat, I want to thank you for creating such an amazing community. It is always a joy to be a part of these episodes and for being able to connect with all your listeners throughout the world. And Pilar, I want to thank you for this topic. That Song Schooled Me is exactly the kind of episode that I was hoping Rock Solid would do. See, growing up, I retained an incredible amount of useless information from studying the liner notes inside all of my cassette tapes and CDs. I read the lyrics, the songwriting credits, the thank you notes, all of it. And sometimes, without realizing it, I was actually learning something. In 1989, White Line released a song called Little Fighter. It was the first single from their album Big Game. It's a great song. Little Fighter was written in memory of the Rainbow Warrior, which was a Greenpeace ship that protested nuclear testing in the Pacific Ocean. So here's the story. In 1985, the Rainbow Warrior was docked in Auckland, New Zealand, and it was preparing to lead a protest against French nuclear testing. The French government wanted to stop it. So agents from the French Secret Service attached two explosives to the ship's hull and bombed the Rainbow Warrior. Most of the crew escaped, but a Greenpeace photographer was unfortunately killed in the blast. 15 years later, and about 10 years after White Line released their song, I was sitting in an English literature class in the University of Wyoming. And on the first day, our professor asked us if anybody had ever heard of the Rainbow Warrior. I looked around the room and shyly raised my hand, and I was the only one. And I knew the answer, not because I knew New Zealand history or anything to do with international relations. I knew it because I had read the liner notes to that White Line album. My professor, on the other hand, was intimately familiar with the Rainbow Warrior because she was actually a part of the coalition that was affected by the attack. A couple of weeks ago, when I learned about this topic, I reached out to her after 30 years to verify her story, but I have yet to hear back. Regardless, Little Fighter is a song that schooled me and has been in my regular rotation since 1989. Pat, I suspect you already like this song. Mike Tramp was who sang and wrote Little Fighter was a guest on your show. Anyway, I want to thank you for letting me share a little history lesson and a good memory. And Pat, please feel free to play Little Fighter from the top. Thank you all. Take care.
Are you crying tonight? Are you feeling all right? I tell the world you are down.
All right, Chris Combs, first of all, I have been listening to that song for as long as you have. As a matter of fact, that song is always in my treadmill playlist. And I had no, I didn't know any of what you were talking about. So you just schooled me by telling me about Little Fighter.
Absolutely. This whole episode might school us.
It might. That was a good way to start.
Yeah.
And I didn't mind that your intro was long because you had a lot to say.
No, because there was...
You got a story.
We got a lesson there.
Yeah, you got a lesson.
It was very short for a lesson.
Yeah, not too bad.
Mm-hmm.
Do I want to play one yet? Yeah, you know I want to play one. No, I'll wait. I'll wait till after this one. Then
okay.
I'll jump in.
All right.
All right, here we go.
Hello, Pat, Pilar, and to all the Rock Solid listeners. This is Jerry Riggs from Columbus, Ohio. For this episode about a song that schooled me, I chose a song by Iron Maiden since a group of us from the Rock Solid community will be seeing them next month in Charlotte, North Carolina. The song is Aces High from their 1984 album, Power Slave. It tells a story from a British Royal Air Force pilot's viewpoint of defending the United Kingdom from Germany during the Battle of Britain in 1940. The lyrics describe the intense dogfighting between the aircrafts of Britain and Germany. Live versions of this song contains an intro speech from Winston Churchill. Thanks, Pat, for these episodes. Looking forward to seeing you and the group next month. Up the irons and keep rocking.
That's Iron Maiden with Aces High. Yes, wow. Jerry Riggs and Dwayne Hoffman will be in town for the Iron Maiden show, as will Kyle Dotson and Hector Contreras. And there's going to be a lot of podcasting over those 2 days. Dwayne and Jerry are going to sit in here and do an episode with me. And then me and Hector are going to do an episode, and me, Hector, and Kyle are going to do an episode. So it's going to be a lot of stuff.
It sure will.
A lot of stuff. And Pilar, you can feel free to say that they're hostages, because that's what you like to say. All right. So.
That was another history lesson.
Another history lesson from like a metal band.
I know.
Two history lessons from metal bands. It's crazy. Now, my first pick is not going to be from a metal band.
Uh-huh.
When I was in, I don't know what grade I was in, but we were learning about the Constitution, and we had to memorize the preamble of the Constitution. And when I started to read the preamble to memorize it, I was like, well, I already know the preamble because of Schoolhouse Rock.
That's right.
And then we had to get up and we had to say it. Once you memorize it, well, I didn't even, this is the easiest day I ever had in school. I didn't even have to memorize. But what I did have to do was I had to say it without singing it. So I kind of had to couch that. I'm sure some of it creeped in there, but let's hear a little bit of the preamble from Schoolhouse Rock.
All right.
The first part of the Constitution is called the preamble and tells what those founding fathers set out to do.
We the people, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare at hand, secure the blessings of liberty, to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. In 1787, I'm told our founding fathers.
Schoolhouse Rock was the best.
It was the best.
It was so good. It was so fun.
Remember, like, that's the only way I know, like, how a bill becomes a law.
I'm just a bill.
That was a great one.
Yeah.
They were all so good.
They're all so good. Like, I mean, and did they ever do a, they did a live musical of that, right?
Yes. I took Ezra.
Mm-hmm. How did that go?
It was not good.
Okay.
It was not good.
I feel like they could take all those songs and make a movie or something, though. Or is it of a time?
Having done touring children's theater mm-hmm. for over 3 years, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. they really could turn it into a great stage show.
Yeah. With Tom Cruise.
No. Yeah. It what we saw was very sort of, hey, kids. You know, it was like that.
Boo.
Yeah.
Because Schoolhouse Rock never did that.
Right. Exactly.
They didn't talk down to you like that.
They didn't. They were just like, hey, Bill, what are you doing? It's well, like, I'm just
here's
a
what
boo.
We're doing. Yeah. Yeah. Here's
I'm
what we're
on
doing.
Capitol Hill.
All right. You ready to learn some stuff?
Yeah.
Okay. Here we go. This is Joel Farragher. And I think when he says his name, he says it very quickly in his intro. So I want to let everybody know it's Joel Farragher.
Got it.
And he might just say, this is Joel.
Okay.
But it's very quick.
All right.
My name's Pat.
Hello, Pat and Pilar. This is Joel from Gatineau, Quebec. The song I have selected for That Song Schooled Me is Sun City by Artists United Against Apartheid. My education by this song is twofold. First off, what I learned from the song content. I was 13 years old and in Canada. There's not much exposure to South Africa. For me, South Africa represented diamond mining and the Boer War. Aside from that, I knew nothing more about that area. However, Sun City aggressively told us that because of skin color alone, people were forced to relocate, families were separated, and 23 million people were prohibited from voting. So, what the hell was happening in South Africa? Also, what does constructive engagement and quiet diplomacy mean? And what exactly is Sun City? The song schooled me a second way as well, the recording of the album. Again, 13-year-old me recognized a few voices, Bono, Bruce Springsteen, Pat Benatar, the guy from the Ramones. Also, the song was written by the guy from Bruce Springsteen's band. I knew little more about the performers. However, a friend of mine lent me his vinyl, and the great thing about it were the liner notes. The complete lyrics were there, all performers listed, there were production notes, and images of almost all the singers. It was a great eclectic mix of performers compiled of men, women, from many different musical and cultural backgrounds, and many different skin tones. And as a reminder, there was no Google. I wrote down names, went to the record store, and searched the album and cassette aisles to discover who is Afrika Bambaataa, who is Nona Hendrix and Gil Scott-Heron, to name a few. And oh my God, the realization that two of the drummers, Ringo Starr and Zach Starkey, are father and son. Again, I was an ill-informed, uninformed 13-year-old moron. Jokes aside, the song introduced me to many artists I would not have been exposed to on the top 40 radio I was typically listening to. It was and is a catchy protest song, and it helped me to better understand some historical, social, and political issues. And of course, most importantly, it informed me about the serious injustices and serious human rights issues that were and are systematic in South Africa. So, thanks, Pat and Pilar. Bye-bye.
We're back!
you imagine if Schoolhouse Rock taught us about apartheid? What that would have been like? So remember when we were watching the Little Steven Van Zandt documentary?
Yeah, yeah.
And I said, I go, yeah, Little Steven, he ended apartheid. And you just, you were laughing. You're like, oh, okay. And then you're watching it and you're like, oh, he kind of did. See, you were schooled by that documentary.
I was schooled. I'm getting schooled by all of this. I love how, like, everybody really dug into
They
this.
Really went for it, yeah.
It's just so great. I think I should probably play my song because everybody's, you know, they got really important lessons out of their stuff, you know, like world history and anti-apartheid. And and I'm the one that came up with this topic.
True.
Yet I have one song, and this song schooled me in sex.
Oh, boy.
All right.
I thought I schooled you in sex.
Well.
No?
Well, because I'm not, you know.
All right. You want to introduce the song?
Nope. You can go for it. I think everybody will know it.
You can go for it. That's, yeah, you were schooled in it.
Shut up.
Is that what you would say? If the guy's putting the move on you back then, you would go for it.
Oh, just, you're creepy.
All right. So who played this song for you originally?
So this is Paradise by the Dashboard Light.
Meatloaf.
This is Meatloaf.
Bat out of hell.
I was 11 years old and my friends, okay, I had a friend named Lana Barbuto, and she had a big family, Lana, Lisa, Lori, Linda, Jay, and Justine. Okay.
Okay.
And they told me the song was not about baseball, which is what I thought it was. And they went through what all the bases actually meant. Okay.
So they really schooled you.
They schooled me. They went through what all the bases meant. And I also got all the wrong lessons from this, which is, sex is transactional. Like when I really listened to it and was like, oh, it's about sex. It's like, okay, wait a minute. She wants something and then she gets something, but then he's like praying for the end of time. Like I was just like, I got all the wrong messages.
Yeah, you learned a bad lesson.
Bad lesson that,
from,
you know,
bad people.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. As did so many 11-year-olds of that time. So that was my introduction to sex. This is how I learned about sex.
All right. Congratulations.
I know. But if anybody wants a lesson in like a deep dive into all of the bases and exactly what that means, just saying, I was schooled.
Do you know where I learned about sex?
Where?
Schoolhouse Rock. All right. Here we go.
Hi, Pat Pilar and the Rock Solid listeners. Alex Peek here. One reason I have always loved the Rock Solid podcast is because Pat helps me finally look into artists that have always been there. I just never took or had the time to take the deep dive. An example of this happening is, I'm a big fan of The Who, but never listened to any of their solo albums. But after hearing the Pete Townsend episode, I enjoyed a lot of what I heard and checked out his solo material. One song that was played, if memory serves right, was, and I'm going to say this slowly, is Slit Skirts. After a few listens, the lyrics really began to catch my ear a little more than others, and after looking into the meaning behind the song, I figured out why. As stated by Pete, the song is about getting to that place in middle age where you really feel that life is never going to be the same. You're never going to fall in love again. It's never going to be quite like it was. And it's a song about getting drunk, being maudlin, and sentimental. At age 43 and being full on middle age, this song taught me that even a super successful rock star guy had the same middle age struggles I'm feeling right now. Life is never going to be the same. It will never be like it was. But one thing I have realized is that it is okay. Pete is in his 80s and still rocking. He overcame those feelings, which means I can too. The future has all new things that have yet to be experienced, and that provides an exciting prospect to my future. So there is no reason to get stuck in the middle age life spiral of being concerned about growing old. So here is Slit Skirts from the album All the Best Cowboys Have Chinese Eyes.
Go being schooled about middle age.
Hey, look, anybody who is concerned about middle age, all I have to say is just embrace your Pat Francis.
Oh, yes.
Okay. And the secret is immaturity.
It is.
Just stay completely immature, mm-hmm. and you will never mm-hmm. grow old.
That's true.
Yes.
That's true. Like what you like. Unapologetically,
mm-hmm.
love who you love, unapologetically, mm-hmm. Pilar.
Aww.
I don't like pine for the past. I never did.
You don't think about the future.
Right. Tomorrow.
You just live in the
I just
moment.
Know what's happening tomorrow.
Yeah.
I know what's happening tomorrow. So that's all. That's all I need to know.
You just live in
and
the
I
moment.
Just, I like know all the fun stuff that's happening tomorrow.
Yep, all the fun stuff.
Yeah,
right.
Like tomorrow morning, go to the gym with Mara.
Okay.
Then I have a doctor's appointment. That's not always fun. Then I work, and then I come home, and Rita's here with her boyfriend for 4 or 5 days.
I am so excited.
Yeah.
I'm so excited about that.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. So, yeah, I just think it's really just about what's the next thing or the next day. You know what I mean?
Also, you know, there's that old adage about like a picture growing old in the closet,
yeah.
right?
Dorian Gray.
I am the picture because Pat, not a line on his face.
That's okay? not true.
But I take it on and I am aging because I don't just live in the moment. I dwell on the past and I plan for the future.
We're all aging. Everyone's aging every day.
Oh my God.
Everyone's aging every day.
It's so not fair. It's going to get to the point where, like, we go out and they're going to be like, is that your mom? Like,
they're never going to say that. Trust me. They're never going to say that. My hair's falling out.
No, it isn't.
It is falling out.
Well, I'm short, so I can't see it.
It's in the sink. It's in the tub.
And I'm blind, so I can't see it. That's another
perfect,
thing about, like,
perfect combination.
Marrying someone your own age or
yeah,
close
and short,
to it
so they can't see your
is
hair.
Really helpful because, right. you know, guys, if you think, you know, you want to, like, trade up for somebody younger, they can actually see yeah. the hairs in the sink. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I have to work tomorrow, but I'm thinking about what comes after the work. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and work's fun anyway, so it's all good.
Immaturity.
And I still got 3 Tom Cruise movies to watch. So come on. One at the theater.
Ooh.
Digger.
Yeah.
we're going to go opening weekend, right?
Yeah, I want to see that.
Yeah, it's by the guy who, I can't say his name, but he directed Birdman and The Revenant, which I like both of those movies.
Yeah.
All right, here comes another one.
All right.
Let's see how we're going to get schooled.
Okay. Hi, Pilar.
Hi.
And Pat. Huh? Why did I start that way? Because my choice for this month's topic of educational songs, songs you learn from, was inspired by something Pilar did last episode.
Uh-oh.
My dad was a high school wrestling coach, a very dedicated one. So during the summers, he'd take trips with his wrestlers across the country to freestyle tournaments and whatnot. And he'd always drag me along. This was not my favorite thing to do because I wasn't wrestling at that point, and I just had to sit around and watch a lot of high school wrestling, which is not fun for 9-year-olds unless their parents have already turned them into little psychos. It was during one of these trips in a hotel room in Eugene, Oregon, that we turned on HBO or Showtime, one of the two, and the movie Hair came on.
Oh.
I loved Hair so much, just like Pilar. And I don't like movie musicals. South Park, Hedwig and the Angry Inch, and Hair, and Sound of Music. That's it. Don't like any of the rest.
It's pretty good.
But Hair stands above them all because I learned so much from Hair. But one song in particular could have taught me a whole lot of words. And I think my dad was eventually glad that I chose the word masturbation out of that song to ask about.
This is.
Because most of the other words would have been even harder to define for a 9-year-old kid. Thank you, Pat and Pilar, for this wonderful episode and all of these wonderful episodes. And please play Sodomy from Hair. Oh, and to put a bow on the earlier story, I am now a high school wrestling coach, so perhaps my parents did turn me into a little psycho.
Now, for some reason, his song is not connected with his intro, and that's my mistake.
Uh-oh.
But just drop it in.
Must right I sing here. It for you?
No, I got it.
Cool.
Jumping ahead.
No, that's okay.
Okay, it's coming up.
I think so.
Go, yeah, Sodomy. Yeah. Good job, Tor Hansen.
There is something flying around.
Okay. Well, there could be a bug in here.
Okay. But that song definitely schools you.
Yeah.
For sure.
For sure.
All right.
Are you getting bit up? Because I know you don't do well with the bugs.
I don't do well with the bugs. I didn't put anything on.
Because we're inside. You don't expect to. Okay. We'll
exactly.
know next time.
We will know if I get bit. We'll find out.
So when I was in sixth grade,
mm-hmm.
we had a fucking teacher, Mr. Cortez.
But he
made us pronounce it Mr. Cortez. It's fucking his asshole.
Okay.
And he made sixth graders write 30-page papers.
What?
Now, if our kids were in sixth grade and they would have came home and said we have to do a 30-page paper, the parents would have banded together and said no.
Right.
But not when I was in sixth grade. They're like, parents are just like, well, whatever. All right, well, that's the assignment. You got to do it. And so we got to pick, I think we could pick any topic. I picked the topic of the Bermuda Triangle.
Okay.
And I'm sure I was plagiarizing right and left from any Bermuda Triangle book I had. I don't know anything about the Bermuda Triangle after writing a 30-page paper. The most I ever learned about the Bermuda Triangle was from Barry Manilow.
Oh.
In this wonderful song called Bermuda Triangle.
We decide to get away and have some fun. But go
Oh my God.
So look, that's all you need to know about the Bermuda Triangle.
Oh my God.
Don't get too close and people disappear.
Even
that's all you need to
even
know.
Even Barry Manilow can write a bad song. That's a terrible
song. Who said
song.
He wrote that? That might have been an outside writer.
Oh man. Wow. That's like a song like you make up. Like,
so I just saw Barry Manilow a week ago?
Yeah.
A week and a half ago, like 10 days ago. My friend John Heffron got a call last minute to be his opening act for like 16 dates. And I had planned on going anyway. And when I saw that John was opening, I immediately put a call in, you know, and we had fantastic tickets. And Bermuda Triangle music, Barry Manilow, lyrics by Bruce Sussman and Jack Feldman. So thank you guys. Thank you for schooling me. But anyway, John killed it. Super funny. The seats were incredible, and Barry killed it. It was such a great show, and it's billed as the last concert. So if you have a chance to go see Barry Manilow, he's not phoning it in, and he's not using tracks. So go see it.
And he's probably not going to play this song, so don't
he's
worry.
He's not going to play Bermuda Triangle.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I wish he would.
I can't believe you wrote 30 pages and you didn't learn anything. That's the thing that...
You know what I learned? That what? Mr. Cortez is a fucking asshole. And that no sixth grader shouldn't be writing a 30-page paper. Did you ever write a 30-page paper?
In college.
30 pages for sixth graders.
Yeah, yeah.
What a dick.
Yeah, that is true.
All right, here we go. You ready?
Yes.
Hello, Pat and Rockstar listeners. This is Joe Thomas from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Hmm. Now, when I was young, the drinking age was 18 years old. So when I was in high school, I feared that pretty soon I'd be going to bars and nightclubs. Now, I've always lived in the South, so therefore, I've always listened to Lynyrd Skynyrd. And their song, Give Me Three Steps, give me a warning before going to bars and nightclubs. First of all, be aware of the reputation of the establishment you're going to. And also, once you get inside, be very careful who you associate with. So, Pat, thanks for letting me be a part of this show. So enjoy Give Me Three Steps by Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Let me tell you, when I did stand-up comedy,
mm-hmm.
I was not the comedian that hung around and tried to get laid after the show. I was straight back to the hotel, ordering a pizza, watching some TV. Because there would be like women that would come up and flirt with you after, and you're like, oh, I know what they're looking for, but I don't know these women. I don't know if they're married. I don't know anything about, you know what I mean? So I was always like, and you're in the middle of nowhere. Michigan or in the South. I was like, no way.
You might have left a trail of little pats behind you if you'd gone home with them.
I might have gotten beat up by a jealous boyfriend.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
Yeah. I'm not thinking about leaving little pats. I'm thinking about protecting myself.
Yeah. Wow.
Protecting this, the moneymaker.
Well, good for you.
Yeah, man.
Again, you got the right lessons out of things.
I think I did. I learned about Bermuda Triangle.
Okay. Oh, good Lord.
You ready for another one?
I am. Actually.
What?
That takes me back to John Heffron.
Oh, okay.
He was in this tour with you called Crack Me Up.
Yes.
Right? And when you and I were first dating,
mm-hmm.
you showed me video.
Yeah.
Where everybody went to a brothel. but not you. Wasn't that?
Oh, we all went into the brothel, but then I came out of the brothel.
You came out of the brothel.
Yes.
And I believed you because you were actually filming from 100%. Outside of the brothel.
Let me tell you something. This was not a high-end brothel.
Are there really any
I don't know.
High-end brothels?
I've never been in one.
Okay.
So you go in. So bad. Are the kids going to listen to this? We go in.
No, they're not going to listen.
We go in, mm-hmm. and there's only one
cute girl.
Yes, thank you. Okay. I don't know how to say it without being weird.
Okay.
There's only one cute brothel woman. Brothel broad. And so I pick her.
Okay.
And then we go, and now cuz I was trying to fuck with John and Joel.
Okay.
So then her and I go into the room,
uh-huh.
and then wait for John and Joel to pick someone.
Uh-huh.
And then I told her, I go, yeah, I'm not really interested. And then I went to the car.
So you just wanted to get the cutest girl out of the way so they'd have to.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
My gosh. Yes. Did you have to pay her?
No, no, no.
Was she mad?
She didn't seem to be.
Okay.
Didn't speak English, I don't think, much.
Oh, God. This is getting sadder.
Yeah.
Wow.
Anyway. Yeah. So then I went to the car and got the video camera out. And then it was a... Can't believe you remember that. I forgot about that.
Well, we were just dating.
It's wild.
And you were showing me videos.
That's
and
wild.
You're like,
and you're like, oh no.
Yeah, this is when they were at the brothel,
oh, yeah,
but
this
I was
when
outside.
We went to the
and I was like, and what I got was like, he's outside of the brothel.
Yeah.
This is the weirdest.
Yeah,
you
this
know.
Is he doesn't know how this works.
Right. But at the same time, it was nice. I was kind of relieved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Strip clubs all the time, but that's different.
Oh. Well, see, I didn't hear about that.
Oh yeah. But no lap dances, just enjoying the show.
Just enjoying the show.
They were performers like we were, stand-up comedians. Can I tell you a crazy stripper story?
You might as well.
I might
as
well.
We've been married 28 years. It's
so
I would place, like a surprise.
Place, I believe it was Peoria, Illinois. It's called Big Al's.
Mm-hmm.
World famous. And whenever we would be at the Jukebox Comedy Club in Peoria, we would go to Big Al's.
Mm-hmm.
And so on the Crack Me Up comedy tour, we were coming through and we played some college and we're like, let's go to Big Al's. So we're at Big Al's and the girls there were totally naked.
Oh really?
Totally nude. It was crazy.
Okay.
Crazy good. No, crazy. Ooh. So we're just at a table in this back room and this one girl comes over and she just sits down and she's just talking to us. Just like a conversation.
Okay.
Like nothing's going on. She's not trying, you know what I mean? She's not flirting. She's like, what are you guys doing? Oh, we're stand-up comedians. We just did college. And oh, that sounds cool. And just talking.
But and she's then, naked.
She is naked, but she's just sitting there. She's sitting.
Okay.
So, and we're making eye contact at this point because it's a, you know, it's a conversation.
Right.
And so she says, what are you guys doing when you leave here? And now we're like, you know, I think we were all like, what is she talking about? And we're like, so we told her what we were going to do. I go, when we leave, we're going to go to Steak and Shake and get some food because there weren't a lot of Steak and Shakes. So whenever we were near one, we would go.
Okay.
So she said, my sister gets off in like 20 minutes. Her sister's working there too. She goes, can we go with you?
Aw.
And we said, yeah. So we just wait at that table and she goes and she gets dressed and she brings out her sister who's dressed and they meet us at Steak and Shake. They don't drive with us. And we go to Steak and Shake and we have conversation and burgers. And then we say goodbye in the parking lot. I think we all hugged and that was it. That was our
story. It would have been
story.
Really fun if they went to Steak and Shake naked. That would have been
Naked Shake.
That would have been great.
Steak and Naked.
Are you telling me the truth?
100%. I wouldn't even bring the story up.
At the end, you all just hugged
yes,
and say goodbye?
100%.
No, John.
Why wouldn't I tell you? I was single. I wasn't dating you.
So,
or
so there was John Heffern.
Yes.
You yeah. and Joel.
Joel Zimmer, yeah.
Okay. So
I believe it was, no, it might have been Rusty, right? It might have been me,
Rusty.
John, and Rusty McGarry for that.
Okay.
Yeah, that was Rusty.
And neither Rusty nor John.
Rusty was dating.
Yeah, but neither one tried.
No.
To
no, because we were like, because you know why? Because we talked about it afterwards. We were like, these girls obviously felt safe enough with the three of us to to go out to a Steak and Shake.
This is actually a really sweet story.
Yeah, so we felt like if we made a move on them, then we would just be the creepy guys
right.
that they deal with every night. And we weren't like that. When we go to strip clubs, we weren't like the guys that thought they were going to sleep with a stripper or what, you know, saying stuff. We just have a beer and we're just there. You know what I mean?
I guess. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how to describe it.
I've never been to a strip club. Never.
Well, there's one around the corner.
Because I know it's like, you know, cool girls go to strip clubs and stuff like that, but I never did.
I'm going to say, if there's such a thing, Big Al's was kind of like a little bit, not upscale, but like, you know what I mean?
Everybody was naked.
I know.
Completely.
Yeah.
How is this upscale?
I don't know.
They were wearing heels? Like, what's the deal?
Yeah, they were wearing heels. Oh, maybe a garter.
Oh, God.
All right. You ready?
Yeah.
This next one, I would have 100%, I forgot about it, but had I remembered it, I would absolutely have played this one.
Okay.
You know how I learned about strip clubs?
Are you serious?
Hi, Pat.
What?
No. Oh, okay. Go
ahead. I'm not going to say it because you laughing, it was already the punchline.
Okay. Go.
Schoolhouse Rock.
Hi, Pat. George Worley from Pennsylvania here. The song I picked for the School Me Patreon episode is Hurricane by Bob Dylan. I don't think I've heard too many Bob Dylan songs over the years on Rock Solid, and I'm not necessarily complaining. He's an icon, but not someone I really listen to with any regularity. This song, however, is easily one of his best. Hurricane is about a number one ranked professional boxer, Reuben Hurricane Carter, who was charged and found guilty of a triple murder in 1966. Dylan eventually visited Carter in prison and wrote this protest song, which comes in at a sprawling 8-plus minutes as it tells the story in great detail. This song reached number 33 on the Billboard charts in late 1975, after which Carter had been in jail for about half of his eventual 19 years in prison, before finally being released in 1986 on the grounds of a racially biased trial. There was a movie about Carter released in 1999 starring Denzel Washington, which I've yet to see, so I have Bob Dylan and his lyrics to thank for schooling me about a terrible injustice against a man who had a promising future taken away during the prime of his life. Pat, please play Hurricane by the legendary Bob Dylan, and thanks as always for these listener episodes.
Pistol shots ring out in a barroom night. Enter Betty Valentine from the upper hall. She sees a bartender in a pool of blood. Cries out, my God, they've killed them all. Here comes the story of the hurricane. The man the authorities came to blame for something that he never done. Put in a prison cell, but one time he could have been the champion of the world.
You and I went to see Hurricane.
Yes.
And you schooled me on who he was because you knew this song.
I schooled you prior to this because I had always told you that I thought this would make a great movie, and I didn't understand why they never made this movie.
Oh, wow. It goes back that far?
Yeah, and I even told you that I thought that Eddie Murphy would be great to play Reuben Hurricane Carter because that would be like his dramatic breakthrough.
Oh.
And they use this Bob Dylan song as like a template a little bit throughout the film. Norman Jewison directed it. I don't know if he was the right director for this film, but
I remember it being good.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah. Well, it's Denzel Washington. It's hard not to be
Denzel
good.
Denzel Washington can do anything.
So I remember my brother, I think this was like 1978, so I would have been in like eighth grade. And my brother had the 45. Was it earlier than that? I have to look. But my brother had the 45. And because it was an 8-minute song, you had to flip it over to continue the song because it all wouldn't fit on one side. And I remember it had Reuben Hurricane Carter as a boxing photo of him on the sleeve. And I just love this song so much. I still love it. Like, it just works. Like, the instrumentation, that fiddle and the bongos, and Bob Dylan's voice sounds great on this. Like just his voice sounds great. Like he's really singing and he hits every beat of the story, and mm-hmm. he's got the real people's, he's using the real people's names throughout. And it's just, you know, he even says that woman's, he says her first and last name, you know?
Right, right.
What's her name? Patty Valentine. I mean, he just don't make up the names. He's using the real people's names. Mm-hmm. I love it. I love that song so much. Really, I do. All right, three more.
Okay.
Here we go.
Hello, Pat and Pilar. This is Rob McKinnon in Ontario, Canada, with my contribution to the Song That Schooled Me episode. The first songs that I remember learning any lessons from were on Sesame Street. As a kid, I loved all the songs, not realizing that some of them were originals and some were song parodies. I learned to count to 12 while watching pinball animation with a funky beat. That 12 ladybugs came to play at the ladybugs' picnic. That C is for cookie, and that's good enough for me. And when I find I can't remember what comes before A and after C, Mother always whispers, let her be, let her be. But by far, my favorite Sesame Street educational song parody is Born to Add, performed by Bruce Stringbean and the S Street Band. Now, I didn't learn any lessons from this particular song, other than it's pretty tough out there for an adder on the Jersey Shore. But I did pick up a few things over the years from Sesame Street. So here's Muppet Bruce and the band trying to stay out of trouble and adding up all the things they see as they go about their days.
When we're roaming the streets and we see one car, we always add one and make it two. It don't matter why, we like to add one and one. Out here is the thing to do. Now some say that screaming one plus one all night means we're thoughtless, cruel, and bad. But kids like you and me, baby, we were born to add. Yes, girl, we were. As we keep on wandering, we see two trash cans, so we add one and make it three. There's a lot of us adders on the Jersey Shore. Out here it's the thing to be. Yeah, we'll keep on shouting, one plus two, even though it makes them mad. 'Cause kids like you and me, baby.
We were born to add.
I saw that. It's a fly, I think.
It's a moth.
It's a low-flying moth.
I think our big jump scare has been a moth
okay. This
whole time. I'm so glad he included a Sesame Street song.
Yeah, yeah.
I love Sesame mm-hmm. Street so much. And I think some of the songwriting on it is so good.
Yeah.
And like you compare it, like I hate to be like shows these days, you know, mm-hmm. but you know, it was from Barney on, it started to really like dumb down yeah. children's programming.
Super D-duper.
Like, and kids, like they do learn from songs.
They do.
That was the whole thing about Sesame Street, was they realized that that kids were learning from commercials.
Mm.
So they created these short vignettes that they would actually repeat so that kids would finally get the lesson. And that's...
Yeah, like the vignette wouldn't just be in this episode. It might be in the third one.
Right.
And then the sixth one.
Exactly. They would do it over and over again so that, you know, you were singing the stuff. So that you did memorize the lesson. So that's cool. I'm glad he did that.
Yeah. I wonder what it was like when Bruce saw that for the first time.
Well, I'm sure Bruce had to give his...
I don't know if he had to give his permission for parody.
No?
He's just probably like, look at that there. They made me look like a string bean.
Oh, I loved Shiny Happy Monsters.
Oh, that's a great one.
That was so great.
I like the Angels Went and Ate My Red 2.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because Elmo is dressed as Elvis Costello. I love it. All right, we got two more. Here we go.
Okay.
Hello to Pat, Pilar, and the Rock Solid Nation. This is Ian Beresford in Berwick-upon-Tweed, Northumberland, England, with my choice for the Patreon episode, That Song Schooled Me. My pick is The Clash, with their cover of the song Police and Thieves, and it has the line, from Genesis to Revelation. I obviously didn't pay attention in religious education classes, because without this song, I wouldn't have known that those are basically the first book in the Bible to the last book in the Bible. So I hope everyone enjoys it. I hope everyone's well. And as always, Pat, thanks for the great content. And bye for now.
Police and thieves in the street.
Oh, yeah.
Scaring the nation with their guns and ammunition. Police and thieves in the street. The next generation. Hear me. And all the crowd come in.
I love the bass on that one. It's fantastic. Fantastic. What were you going to say?
I think I've come up with an idea for the next.
Really?
One. Yeah.
Are you sure?
I don't know. Can I run it by you here?
Do I need to turn the mics off?
No.
All right.
So we can work it out.
Songs that strippers dance to? Songs that play at Steak and Shake?
No.
All right. Tell me what it is.
Well, I just like how we learn so much about the listeners from this. Mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm. This has been really fun. It's like,
yeah,
this is what I learned and this is where I was. And, you know, or with the one about their family, you know, like, thanks, mom and dad, right?
Mm-hmm.
What about one with songs like this is dedicated to, you know, and it would be songs that remind you of different people. So like, let's say, you know, oh, this is a song that reminds me of my first girlfriend.
Oh, you know? Okay. I like that.
Yeah. And it would be like,
so just
yeah.
This song reminds me of, or that song reminds me of.
Or like this, like, but then it would be like, if you say reminds me of, then it would be like, people are just going to be like, reminds me of Italy, right? So it's got to be about a person.
It's got to be about a person, yeah.
Yeah, could you do a dedicated to, like, this is dedicated to the one I, you know?
Well, I mean, dedicated to is different from reminds me of.
That's true. This song. Oh, what about this? If this person was a song.
No. You're, I mean, I like where you're going with this. Like, yeah. When you hear this song, you think of this person.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or you could call it, makes me think of you, you know, makes me think of,
You really didn't plan this out well.
No, I didn't plan it at all. I just kind of came up
with like it. I like where you're going with this. We'll figure out what to call it.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, there's just, yeah, I know what you mean. There's songs that make you think of a person or a time or a place, but you want it specifically, the song makes me think of
this person.
Okay.
You know, and that way we can find out what person it reminds them of.
Okay.
You know, and why, and hear the song.
What if we call it, that song makes me think of who? And then they fill it in. We'll figure out what it's
called. We'll figure it out.
You need to really, we really need to be specific here.
Yes, I know, because it could go in any direction.
Okay, like when I hear I Don't Want to Miss a Thing by Aerosmith, I think of you.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, that's easy.
Okay.
All right, this is my last one, and then we're going to let Steve-O Dockerson take us out with his intro and his song.
Okay.
So after this one, we'll do promoting, and then Steve-O is going to take us to the end, and we won't talk anymore when Steve-O starts talking.
Okay.
So, I didn't really know anything about Kent State until I heard the song Ohio by Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young.
Do her and I.
A classic.
Yeah.
I bet these people like Joni Mitchell and Neil Young, Stephen Stills, Graham Nash, not David Crosby because he's passed, but when they see like Ice and this stuff on TV,
oh my God.
they must say, did we fucking sing about this in the 60s? Wasn't this stuff supposed to be done by now?
I think that's why.
They must be so angry.
When you go to like a No Kings event or something like that, it's filled with older people.
Yeah, because they're like, we've seen this before.
Yeah, that generation. And they're there because they remember that they made change by protesting.
Yeah.
And so that's what they're doing it all over again now. Yeah.
When they shouldn't have to be doing it at all.
Right. Right. Exactly. Yeah. I was just thinking that as I was hearing, it was like all these things, mm-hmm. it's back. Every single version, mm-hmm. you know, when you're talking about apartheid and you're talking about this and you're talking mm-hmm. about like a peace coalition getting hurt and, you know, and bombing something and all that. It's all various forms now, right? Yeah. Those who don't learn from history are condemned to repeat it, right? I think that's how it goes.
Yeah.
But if there was a song about that, I'd know that better. But yeah, it sucks, man.
It does.
Everybody should just listen to these songs and then...
And learn a lesson.
And learn. And then we'd have peace on earth.
Hashtag fuck ICE. All right. So we are at Rock Solid Show on Instagram and we are at Rock Solid Podcast on Blue Sky. We are also on Facebook. So like our page and patreon.com/Rock Solid Podcast. If you want to win prizes, I got vinyl prizes coming up. I got these gigantic coffee table books about the Eagles and Hotel California. And I have Dave Mustaine autobiography is coming. And I still got some Bangles books. I got Top Gun vinyl. I got a ton of stuff.
It's so much stuff comes and in. Christmas every day.
Oh, I got these really cool, these albums that we'll give away with our whatever episode drops the week of Halloween. But they're on orange vinyl and it's from Rhino Records. And it's all scary songs. But it's like Werewolves of London and stuff like that. It's not Monster Mash. It's like cool rock stuff. So I got two of those and it's on orange vinyl too. So anyway, lots of stuff to win. So go over there. And if you're like a free member over there, you're like a dollar member, bump it up a buck. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Come on.
Do you have a dollar member? No.
Yeah. A dollar is like set it and forget it. You don't get anything with a dollar.
Yeah.
For another dollar, you win a prize or participate like Chris and Jerry and Joel and Alex and Tor and Joe and Joe and Rob and Ian and Steve-O did.
Which was great.
You guys really
came
killed
up with
it.
Some awesome songs.
So with that.
Stories.
Thank you, Pilar.
Thank you, Pat.
I'm going to turn the mics off and we're going to let Steve-O take us out.
Okay.
All right. Here we go.
Hi, Pat. Hi, Pilar. Thank you for letting me stay in your home. That was very nice of you. I play a lot of instruments. I play guitar, bass, banjo, piano, accordion, theremin, odd percussion I find, and I do programming with different beeps and boops. But as a troubled teen, I was in a band, and we were called the Teddy Boys, which was a thing in London in the 50s. And since we were kids who lived in rural Michigan in the 90s, we had a lot in common, right? Anyway, the Teddy Boys. I started playing music with this guy named Abe, and he played guitar. We borrowed another guy's bass, and we had a drummer named Brad. We'd play at Brad's house, and I learned a lot about playing music with Abe. He was left-handed, and since I was on bass, I would basically just have to see where his hand was, and I'd mirror that to figure out the songs. And it helped playing a lot. If you're learning how to play guitar or bass, like watch somebody play the opposite hand. You know what I'm saying. Like if it looks like you're playing a mirror, you end up playing better. That's one thing I learned. See, but I also learned a lot about harmonies because we would practice singing. And Abe and I would play the end of this last song a lot. It was kind of our warm up. Abe and I lost touch after high school, and we only really saw each other one more time. It was like at the end of college, I think, but I drove this girl that I had a crush on to see his band, and he hooked up with her. So that was the end of that. But I learned three things. I learned how to play the bass, I learned how to harmonize, and I learned to never bring pretty girls around singer-songwriters. Here's a song that we played a lot together. It's by the band Sloan off of their Twice Removed album. This is called I Hate My Generation, and this is kind of this is the end of the song. Enjoy.
I'm talking into my mic.
Will you write into it? Try it again.
I'm talking into my mic. I'm talking into my mic. This is your third podcast.
Yeah, but I mean, this will be the best one.
Aw.
It will be.
I don't think so.
Yes, it will be.
After having like that big shop manager and
it's fine. It's trust
talking
me.
About the Stones.
Trust me.
The Stones.